Welcome to New Life Church teaching series, Finding the Kingdom Culture. This is lesson 21 in our series titled, A Thankful Heart. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Thanksgiving. I was asking the Lord what I should speak on. We're speaking on the parables and the kingdom culture. What is a kingdom culture as Christians? I'm kind of on this quest for a higher Christian experience. I know that the Christian experience I've had so far, I think, has been wonderful and great. But God's put something down in my soul for a higher Christian experience than I've experienced. And so in that quest, it brings a great challenge. That means I'll have to give up something to move forward, because sometimes you know, if you're going to visit a place, you don't take everything you got. You just take a little bit of it. And so I know that I'll have to do that in this spiritual journey. And as I began this journey, the Lord reminds me of, you know, there's some things we just as humans, as not much less as Christians, we think if we're not thinking it, it must not be important. Anybody got a witness in their flesh? We think if we're not thinking it, it must not be important. So I ask you this question. Is oxygen important? Have you thought about it in the last 5 seconds or 10? Well, probably not. But it is important. And if I bring that to your attention, you'll say, well, yes, Alan, that's kind of would like to have all of that I can get. And yes, we do need that. Not only that, without oxygen, I don't know how long you'd live. I'm sure Dr. Craig could tell us, but it wouldn't be long. 10 minutes? Wow. I can't hold my breath that long, so I'll not make it. Oxygen. How long can you live without oxygen? Well, let me give you that's your physical body. How about in your spiritual body? How long can you live without spiritual oxygen? That's a question. So I would like to raise the question this morning. I would like for us to look at being thankful. We're in Thanksgiving season. And being thankful, if you can hear what I'm saying, just consider it. Test it. But being thankful is a higher Christian experience than being unthankful. Everybody, can you kind of go with that? So, if I want to experience a higher Christian experience, then what will precede my experience is being thankful. Well, you can say, well, Alan, why thankful? I've heard of being thankful. My mom and dad told me that. Well, you say thank you. You know, we've heard that all of our life. It's kind of like oxygen, though. Is it important? Well, just because I've heard about oxygen all my life doesn't make it any less important. It's highly important. Now, I want to submit to you for your criticism and for your testing to look at thankfulness, and let's go into it just a little deeper this morning. Let's see how critical this H2O, or the water and the wind of the Spirit is. Let's watch it. Now, I call this a lifestyle of a people who can see the invisible God. You know, I've prayed and I said, God, we can't see. Aren't you asking a little much? You know, for us to trust you and believe in you. We can't even see you. And he said, yes, you can. But, I mean, is that just a play on words, or do you think God really means it? Listen, I can't speak Chinese, but it doesn't mean somebody else can't. Just because I can't see God doesn't mean somebody else can't. If I want to speak Chinese, I've got to learn the language of Chinese. If I want to see God, I've got to learn God's language on how to see Him. Now, there is a Seeing God 101, I call it. And it's a thankful heart, being thankful. It's a lifestyle. Now, please hear what I'm saying. It's a lifestyle of a people who can see the invisible God. Now, what I want you to consider, seeing God's a lifestyle. It's not a once every now and then I saw God move. Let me ask you this question. Do you think it's possible that God's moving more than you're seeing? Probably the answer to that one is yes. God probably is moving more than I'm comprehending and more than I'm seeing. If I want my faith to grow in God, would it not be nice if I could see Him doing more of what He's doing? Yeah. I mean, I enjoy faith as much as the next person, but I love to see God move. So to do that, I got to learn spiritual Chinese. I've got to learn God's language. I've got to learn how God talks and what He says and what it looks like. And I've got a feeling it's not Alexander County redneck. But even though I have heard Him use that dialect, let's see what we can discover. I want to read you this little story. It's a rich man teaches his son. And if you will, listen real closely. I wrote it real slow because I don't read fast. So, y'all listen real close here. This story is about a rich man who he wanted to teach his son a language. He wanted to teach him about values of life. Here's the little story. One day, the father of a very wealthy family took his son on a trip to the country with the expressed purpose of showing him how poor people live. They spent a couple of days and nights on the farm of what would be considered a very poor family. On their return from their trip, the father asked his son, "How was the trip, son?" His son replied, "It was great, Dad." "Did you see how poor people live?" the father asked. "Oh, yeah," said the son. "So tell me, what did you learn from this trip?" the father asked. The son answered, "I saw that we have one dog and they had four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of our garden, and they have a creek that has no end. We have imported lanterns in our garden, and they have the stars all night. Our patio reaches to the front yard, and they have the whole horizon. We have a small piece of land to live on, and they have fields that go beyond our sight. We have servants to serve us, but they serve others. We buy our food, but they grow theirs. We have walls around our property to protect us. They have friends to protect them." The boy's father was speechless. Then his son added, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me how poor we really are." Isn't that something? How poor we really are. The question is, are you the son or are you the father? What a question. How poor we really are. Could it be that the son was looking around and he saw things that the father didn't? We tend to see what we value, you know. We want to see God move. Well, do we have eyes to see Him move? So let's consider this story as we move forward rather quickly in this understanding. Now, the young boy, the young son, evidently had a level of understanding of a child, meaning that he had not yet been tarnished by the years of the father. The son had a fresh perspective. Perhaps he was seeing more reality than the father, out of the simplicity of being a child. Jesus tells us if we want to see him, we must come to him as a little child, which means it's not how much we know to cloud our thinking and our seeing. So let's look at the eyes of our understanding. Now, I want us to consider that little son was very thankful for what the Heavenly Father had given those poor people. But then the son said, "Thank you, Father, for showing me how poor we really are." Perhaps there's part of us that needs to be poor and another part's rich and we don't know it. Which place do you want to live? A thankful heart is what focuses your spiritual eyes. The little son had focused his eyes on things that were valuable. And he could see it. Well, the father could see it after the son pointed it out. The father had a mission in mind and he accomplished it. He just didn't know what the right answer was. So, let's look at thankfulness. Why is thankfulness a big deal in seeing what God's really doing? Now listen to me, church. Please listen to me. You're better off than you think right now. You've been blessed more than you know right now. Faith, can you hear me? Faith, I taught them this morning in the first session. Faith is outside of your realm of experience. You say, "Well, Alan, I want to see God move again. I want to see God heal again." You can have a memory of what God did, but that's not faith. You can say, "Well, I believe God will do it again." That's not faith. You can believe God. Listen, faith is always a future action. It's always future. Now, you can have memory of what God has done, and we rejoice in it. Thankfulness is the beginning of faith. It's the beginning. We're thankful for what God has done. Hey, let me tell you what you do when you leave Thankfulness 101 and you go on into graduate school. We're thankful for what God has done, and when you go into graduate school, you're thankful for what God's going to do. Can anybody hear me? Into the side of realm of faith. It says here in Ephesians, "Cease not to give thanks for you." This is the Apostle Paul here. "Making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of" what? Say it with me. "Wisdom." And what? "Revelation." In the what? "Knowledge of Him." Now watch this one. "The eyes of your" what? "Understanding" being what? "Enlightened." Now, I would have to say that that little boy in that story, his eyes evidently had been enlightened. Because you didn't get it till I read it to you either. Right? We all kind of got it as the story moved on. "The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints." Now, I want you to listen. This is like oxygen. It's very important. Very, say it with me, please. Very important. Being thankful at the beginning of each day, of each life's transactions, can you hear me? Being thankful is to be a lifestyle of the person that has wisdom and understanding. You see, thanks, being thankful is the preceding word. You, in a spiritual encounter, you always have a preceding word to a greater revelation. The preceding word to wisdom and revelation is being thankful. Now, that's an instruction. Like if you're going to get in an airplane and take off, first thing you want to do is you don't want to take off and then look down at your fuel gauge and find out you got enough fuel just to take off. Well, you're going to land, but you aren't going to like the landing. You see, you got to take off right. Things of the Spirit, you take off being thankful. It's the first thing you check. When you get up in the morning, it's your fuel gauge of the Spirit. First thing you check. First thing you check is your level of thankfulness. I venture to say, how many of us got up this morning and started our day and took a check on our thankfulness? Now, this is, you wouldn't have walked out of the door without oxygen. Trust me, you're not going to go far in the Spirit without thankfulness. It's the preceding word of all things of the Spirit. I'm going to show it to you. I've got to move here. Things you can see can be a language. The things that you see around you did not come out of nowhere. They were created according to something in the invisible realm. Says it in Colossians. For by Him were all things what? Created. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. That's both of them, right? Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things, how many things? All things were created by Him and for Him. So you got things that are created that are invisible, things that are created that you can see, but they were all created. All of them were created. So that means that probably at least 50% of everything that is, I can't see it. Then when you narrow it down to what I can see, I can't see everything that's available to see at the same time. I can't see all the way around the world at the same time. So then I got to narrow it down even more. I've got a vision, I've got a peripheral vision that's right here. I can just kind of see 30, 40, 50 feet right in front of me, and everything as it goes. So my vision gets down pretty narrow. But yet we want to go by what we see. We don't believe it. You can't see nothing to start with but this little spot. The world's big, universe is big, spiritual world is huge. And for some reason we get this idea we know it all because we can see this little bit. Y'all have heard the story about the little mouse and the elephant, hadn't you? One mouse said, well, from over here he's got off a big leg. And the other one said, no, he's all trunk. You see, you've got to not, we've got to have more information than we've been created to see at one time. Now, your spirit can process a whole lot more than it can see. Did you know that? If you just go by what you can see, you're not using much of your brain. But the Spirit of God will give us a whole lot more to process than what you can see. Then we enter into the realm that's called faith. Now, let me move on. Now, you tend to see what you value. The little boy in that story, you could see what he valued, the horizon. He thought a whole lot more of that creek than he did a big swimming pool. He could see what he valued. He was going to take the boy, little boy out there so he can see all that he had provided him and them poor people didn't have. But the truth was the poor people was richer than the rich person. You know, everybody tends to consider themselves poor. In other words, if you live in a $50,000 house, and your neighbor on this side lives in a $100,000 house, and your neighbor on this side lives in a $10,000 house, we all want to be equal with the person in the $100,000 house. Right? In other words, everybody thinks they're poorer than somebody. It's because we're looking through the wrong eyes. We're not taking any of this stuff with us. So are you really poor? Or are you really rich? Where's your value system? You will see what you value. Some of y'all heard me tell this, but years ago I bought a new white Ford pickup. And when I went to the Ford place and I bought me a new white Ford pickup, and I got out on Interstate 40 to drive it home, and I thought, wow, there went another white Ford pickup just like mine. And went on a little, then there was another. Before I got home, I saw five or six new white four-door white 250 pickups. And I thought, well, they're as smart as I am. They all bought a white four-door 250. No, the truth is, in that little moment of time, I kind of thought a lot of a 250 pickup, so I just saw them everywhere. Well, they were there all the time. But because I valued a pickup, a white one four-door, I tended to see it. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, here's what we got to do. We want to value what God's doing over our own selfish desires if you want to see God move. It's where is it on your value system? Does God move? Yes, He's moving a whole lot more than you can see, too. Let's move on. You see what you value. The created world will give you the capacity to understand the invisible world. What you see in the invisible world is determined by the condition of your heart. Now, this is what I want us to see. The condition of that little boy's heart determined what he saw. The condition of the father's heart, that determined what he saw. Just because you can see what you're seeing doesn't mean it's good to see. There's more to see then you can see, so you got to have selected seeing if you want to see God. Why do you not need to be watching all this dark stuff all the time? You're taking up hard drive space to see God. Well, no, I can handle it. I can handle all this stuff. I can handle all these movies. I can handle this stuff. It's dark. It don't bother me. Bless God, I'm spiritual. You're dumb, too. That's right. Say, I'm a farmer. Preachers don't say that. I'm a farmer. You don't fool yourself. You can't. You're messing up what you're going to see. Then all of a sudden, you watch all this dark stuff all the time, and you walk around and talk about how bad everything else. Well, this is bad, and that's bad. Yeah, I've seen that on the movie right over there. Yeah, that's bad, and this is bad. Who needs a report on how dark it is? Come on. We need a report on how much light's going to the earth. Now, it's condition of the heart. An unthankful heart sees that which is dark. Are you with me? Say, I'll now repent. Let's go ahead and get it out of the way. An unthankful heart, now trust me, I can show it to you in Scripture. An unthankful heart sees what's dark. Why? You see, we're a prophetic creation. We see. But just because you see what you're seeing doesn't mean God wants you to see it. There's more to see than God wants you to see. I've said it before. What if I took everybody's heart in here and God systematically let me just throw it up on screen for everybody to see? How'd everybody like that one? Oh, there's your heart. There's your... Whoa, wow. Are you kidding? Is that it? Come on. I don't want to see what all's in your heart. And you for sure don't want to see what all's in mine. So you don't need to see, when you turn on the news today, it's like, who can dishonor another person the most is the greatest. I dishonored that one person more. the president or the preacher or the this. This, the whole game now is who can dishonor the most. Have you noticed that? Shame is the commodity of today's news reel. Shame. Wow. And we gloat in the shame of others. Let me tell you something. God has not created you for shame. That's the reason when you watch that stuff, it makes you feel slimed. Does anybody feel slimed? Turn on the news and feel slimed. What happened to Walter Cronkite? Where did he go? Right? You turn on the news and you're watching a horror movie. Now, I guess that didn't cost you nothing. Here we go. Now, an unthankful heart's my idea here. The unthankful heart tends to see first and second heaven. Thankful heart can see dark as well as light. Now, just because you're thankful doesn't mean you're not going to see the darkness, but you'll see light and darkness. Being thankful, listen, if you're going to sit here and I'd say, okay, give me 10 things you're thankful for, you're going to be seeing light stuff. In other words, you might say, well, I had a car wreck, but God saved me through it. I didn't get hurt. Right? I saw the darkness, but I saw the light. Right? Listen, church, if you've been born again, you're in the redemption business. That's the way it is. All of your stories in a day's time should end up happily ever after. That's right. That's right. You're supposed to end up with light. You say, well, Alan, I'm sick. All right, we'll pray. Well, how do I know if I'm healed? I don't know. We're going to thank God for the light. Everything we do as a people is redemptive work. We're not in condemning work or shame work. Are you with me? We're in redemptive work. Now, thankful heart. Wow, I got the boogie, y'all. Now, let me get on. No thankfulness equals vain imaginations, a dark heart. Now, you've got to see this. I told this morning. There's called sins of omission. Sins of omission, it's when you don't do what you should do. James says, to know good and not do it is sin. That's what James said. To know good and not do it is sin. Well, I thought when I've done something, it was sin. Well, you can do something that's sin, but did you know that you cannot do something and it's sin? Wow. To know to do good and don't do it, it's sin. Now, watch this one. Says in Romans, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are what? Clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power, Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they what? Thankful. But they had, what happened to them? They became vain in what? Their imaginations, and their foolish heart was? Now, did I just tell you the truth or what? Yes, I told you the truth. When you're not thankful. Now, Alan, you say, come on. How could be? And I just thought being thankful was something you learned in the second grade. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, being thankful is the greatest lesson you'll ever learn from me or anybody else. That's right. Now, when you're unthankful or not thankful, your heart will become darkened. So, if you find yourself sitting here today and you've not been thankful, part of your heart's dark and you need to repent. Now, there you go. Now, Thanksgiving focuses your spiritual eyes. Let's watch this one. This is all about Thanksgiving. Don't y'all feel like turkey and stuff? Now, your spiritual eyes see through thanksgiving. You know, you see, as humans, we always want to complain about what we don't have, or how somebody's not treating me right, or how you don't meet my expectation. Why is your life full of that darkness? It's because you're unthankful for what God has given you. That's why. Your spiritual eyes see through. If you're unthankful, you're not seeing spiritually. It says in Colossians, continue steadfastly in prayer, watching therein with what? Get, all right. Please read that out loud to me. Help me here. Continue. Okay. Thanksgiving. Listen to me. Please hear me from the Spirit of God. Thanksgiving. Having a thankful heart about life and everything. Sets you up to watch God move. You see it right there? Continue steadfastly in prayer, watching therein with what? Watching what? Watching. You see, if you want to see God do some things that you're not seeing God do, you got to set your watching up right. You're not watching right. The way you set your watching up right is through thanksgiving. You see, thanksgiving gets you setting in the right spot to see. If you're not thankful, you're going to be set up to see everything that's dark. Now, you may be wanting to see everything that's dark. I've had it with dark. I'm up to here with dark. I don't need a report on dark. I told people the last few weeks, this is wrong. I said, would you somewhere give me the happy ending? What's God doing about the dark? Don't give me a report about dark if you're not going to give me the ending, what God's showing you He's going to do. I've had it with dark. I've had it. If you're going to give me the dark, you better give me the happy ending of the light of God. Or I'm just not interested. Why do we give dark? Because it's pride in ourselves. For some reason, we take great pride in shaming people. In talking darkness, how bad this is, how bad, you won't believe what this, oh, daddy. Why, who cares? What's God doing on a redemptiveness on behalf of the darkness? Listen, that takes courage. Not some wimpy attitude about how dark everything is and then be proud about it. Well, just throw up somebody. That's a farmer talking to. That wasn't God. Now, looking in and not at, Ephesians, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your what? Hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in the love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and what? Height. Now, here's one thing you got to understand. If you've got the thankfulness down and you thank the Lord that you woke up this morning and you got air to breathe, I know everything's bad. You can't pay your power bill. You broke your leg and you're getting ready to get fired and somebody run over your dog. I understand that. Start it off with being thankful. If you start off being thankful, you'll start watching through that thankfulness. And watching through the thankfulness tells you how to move. Are you with me, somebody? You're watching how to move through life because your thankfulness has set up your watching. Somebody fake it and say you understand. Thankfulness is huge. It's a big one. It's the big one. You ever walked in a church and everybody's like a sourpuss? You ever walked into church, everybody's just so happy and thankful, and they're just, and you're like, I don't know what they got, but I want it. Right? All right, let's go on. I'm hushing up here a little bit. You are made up of body, soul, and spirit. Your body lives and sees in the realm of the first heaven. Your soul lives and sees into the second heaven. Your spirit has been created to live and see into the third heaven. Now, at 11:33, I don't have time to expound on that. We cannot ignore any dimension. Instead, we just have to look through them until we see what God is doing behind the scenes. In other words, the real world's dark. That's one. Second heaven's the atmospheres. Two. Where God is three. Now, I've got to see through one and two to see three. That's the reason I say, you're going to see darkness, but you got to look through the darkness into three. I don't ignore one. I don't ignore darkness. I just don't stop there and camp. A prophetic people that's going to change the darkness looks through the one and the two and runs into the three, and then you walk into the face of the darkness and you say, in the name of Jesus, here's how God's going to change this. That's what you do. There's a lady here today come from Hickory. We're going to pray for her. She's sick. She asked that we pray for her. She's sitting in the audience here. You know what we're going to do? We're going to look through the one and the two. We're going to have faith for the three. Anybody with me? We're going to do that in a little bit. Now, I need you to get what I'm saying so we can get there. If you don't do it for yourself, will you do it for her? Now, when we look at, not in, what do the circumstances of life look like? We think if only this or that would change, we could see things just a little different, then we would truly be happy. When we look in and not at, we can fly in the Spirit and see what God's doing behind the scenes. Now, a thankful heart. Now, follow me here. It's just not a good word. But it's an experience. Now, church, you need oxygen and you need thankfulness. You need oxygen to live in the natural, and you need thankfulness if you're going to thrive in the Spirit. It's not an option. We have to repent of our darkness and be thankful for what the light of God. So, once you experience thankfulness and get a good dose in it, you never go back. People will say, well, you just aren't in reality. Well, praise God. I'm in the Spirit. You have all the reality you want. I see your reality. Don't like it. Like being in reality is some written in the Bible or something. Being in reality, I want to be in the Spirit, which changes a reality. Amen. Right? Hey, listen to me. Oh, my goodness, I'm running out of time. If I'm standing right here, and I'm going to use these life preservers, I'm standing right here, and right there, and right there. Now, when you live life, all of your experiences, your observation of life is based through two extremes. Right's going to be good, bad's going to be left. Ever how bad you've had it in life, that's going to be your left side. And ever how good you've had it in life, that's going to be your right side. So anything in the middle is what you're going to call reality. Can anybody hear me? All of my history, all my memories in the middle of the best thing I've ever experienced and the worst. Just think of the worst thing you've ever experienced and the best. Your life is in the middle of those two because a human soul bounces off extremes. Worst and the best. Worst and the best. Now listen to me, church. Faith operates on the other side of my extremes. Memory operates in my extremes. I remember when God did. Well, I remember how that person treated me. Well, I remember that. Okay. If I'm going to have true faith, I operate outside of those extremes. In other words, I've never experienced what I'm fixing to have faith for. Are you with me? It's on the extreme. Faith operates outside the extremes. For instance, We're going to pray for somebody to be healed today. You can say, well, Alan, I have faith for somebody to be healed because I've seen God heal before. That's not faith, that's memory. That's good to have that memory. That's not faith. You've never had faith for this person we're going to pray for God to heal them. That's future. You never see, each individual thing is futuristic and is personal and has never been another like it. So you got to operate outside of your experience for faith in that experience. Now, let me move on. We're going to get to that. It's an experience of the third heaven. It is when you allow yourself to receive from God the permission to have a thankful heart. In other words, God wants to give us a thankful heart. The fallen soul of man demands being ungrateful and unthankful. We're going to give a bad report on whatever happens. I don't care what. It just comes natural. It's a fallen state of the soul of man. So we have to ask God, God, I want this thankful heart. I understand. I'm seeing it. God, give me a thankful, grateful heart. Now, what is the will of God for my life? Has anybody ever asked yourselves that one? Anybody, be honest with me. You ever asked, God, what is your will for my life? It's in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything. How many things?
Everything.
Give what? All right, there it is. I didn't write it. For this is the... Oh, you're kidding. In Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies. So what is the will of God for your life, according to this verse? To give thanks. Does anybody believe that? Listen, here's why. So, well, does God want me to go here? Does God want me to go there? God, am I supposed to go to Las Vegas and set up a church for you? God, is this your will for my life? Isn't it? Listen. God's will for your life's not a destination. God's will for your life is to walk with Him in the Spirit. You see, when you give thanks to God in everything, oh, wow, in everything, you're set up to watch the path you're to walk in. If you have an ungrateful heart, guess what your path's going to look like? It's going to substantiate unthankful behavior, right? You're drawn into every what creates you being unthankful. Well, you won't believe what happens to me all the time. Duh. Happens to you all the time because you're ungrateful all the time. I said, yeah, that's right. This means yes and that means no. That's right. The will of God for your life is to give thanks. Being thankful is proof that we are walking in the Spirit and not the flesh. How important to God is giving thanks. Wow. How important. Look at this one, please. Appointed to the... God, in the Old Testament, had this group of Levites. Do you know what their job was? Just to sit around and give thanks at the tabernacle. They were professional giver thankers. Ain't that something? It was so important to God, He had a whole crowd that did it. I'm going to have to move fast. 1 Chronicles. And He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Wow. So one of the first things that God did in the tabernacle in the wilderness was He had the Levites, and their sole job was to sit around, praise God, and give thanks. Could it be important? Possibly. Somebody give me a carrot. Could it be important? Wow! The office of being thankful. Now, Chronicles. And with them, Heman and Judith and the rest of them were chosen, who were expressed by name to give thanks to the Lord because His mercy endures forever. That was His job. Give thanks because His mercy endures. Thankful, listen, thankfulness sets up your watching. And your watching shows you you can then see the path in which you're to follow. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Now, let's move quickly. The fruit of our lips is what others will eat. Will your fruit make them healthy or sick? Hebrews, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Doing what? How many people want to bless the earth? Bless your family. Bless you. Give them some fruit to eat. That spiritual fruit is thankfulness. Thankfulness is the spiritual fruit by which others eat. When you're thankful, they live. When you're unthankful, they die. It's real, folks. That's the reason you turn on the news, everybody dies. That's right. If y'all notice, I got a little thing about the news. What is it? God forgive me. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord help us. Now, true thankfulness comes from a willing heart. Psalms, willingly I sacrifice to Thee. I will give thanks to Thy name, O Lord, for it is good. I willingly, it says, give thanks. Psalms 95:2, let us come before His presence with what? Everybody knows this verse. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Be thankful where? Unto Him and bless His name. Wow. Psalms, surely the righteous shall give thanks. Unto Thy name the upright shall dwell in Thy presence. Now, here we go. I've got to stop just a second and get me a cough drop here. Right there it is. That one's used, but it'll work. It was my used one. It wasn't somebody else's now. I want to make that clear. I'm being thankful, even if it is somebody else. I'm thankful. That's right. Now, thankfulness, follow me here. Thankfulness. If I take a magnifying glass and I have to put it on something to read, it makes words bigger than they really are in the moment. Right? So when you magnify something, it makes it bigger than what it is. Right? I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with what? Now here's what you do. Come on, y'all. Please get this. When we give thanks unto God, it makes Him bigger in the moment. You want to increase His presence? Everybody start truly thanking Him with your heart. I don't know. Could y'all feel it right there? I felt something. Call me crazy. I could feel God being magnified right there. You make Him bigger in the moment. To magnify God makes Him bigger in the moment. That's real. It really happens. Watch this. It is a good indicator of our spiritual condition. The wicked are what? Ungrateful. For they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened. Romans 1:21. Could this unthankful and thankful be a big deal? It's a big deal. It is a huge deal. But the righteous shall give thanks unto Thy name. How should we give thanks? All right, good question. Audibly, with our voice, not just our thoughts. Psalms 34:1 says, in the mouth. Psalms 35:28, with my tongue. We're to give Him thanks and testimony. 1 Chronicles, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Among the people, we give thanks to each other. Psalms 26:7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all Thy wondrous works. Publish means you're telling everybody. You don't care who reads your lips. You're publishing that you're thankful to God. You can take an inventory in the moment and say, well, Alan, I ain't got nothing to be thankful for right now. Well, skip today and go back to yesterday. Be thankful. It'll fix today. Psalms 105, 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. We give thanks through music. 1 Chronicles. Then on that day, David delivered first his psalm to thank the Lord. Into the hand of Asaph and his brethren, give thanks unto the Lord. It's through his music. It's through our singing. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will do what? Sing praises unto thy name. See, when we worship, the reason you can feel the Spirit some is because we're being thankful in our worship. Come on, y'all. If you're thankful to your spouse or your boss or your... Have you not noticed when your children are thankful to you that you want to do it again? Anybody as parents, you notice that. Just, you're saying, well, that's the sweetest little thing. Right? What do you think God's saying when we're thankful? You give thanks with musical instrument. And at the dedication of the wall at Jerusalem, they saw the Levites, that's the crowd you know that had wanted to give thanks crowd, out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving, with singing, with what? Cymbals, psalmistries, and with harps. It's all about giving thanks. Can you feel something down in your soul that doesn't like what I'm saying? Can you not feel that the darkness within us is telling me to shut up? It is in me. In other words, I'm saying more than I believe yet, but I'm going to. Listen, y'all ought to try preaching. It ain't easy. It rakes your hinder quarters over the coals is what it does. Because you know you're talking about a God. You know you're speaking about a message that you ain't yourself there yet. But I'm not speaking for me. I'm speaking for God. I'm speaking God's heart, not mine. I want to get there with the rest of us. But I got a feeling there's more to experience than we have yet. And if we'll be thankful as we should be as a church, I believe that we'll see God do things we've never seen. Now, give thanks through prayer. Paul said this, "Cease not to give thanks for you and making mention of you in my prayers. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with what?" There it is again. What in the world is God thinking? Is He trying to make a point or what? Let your request be made known unto God. Wow. The greater the word before the prayers, the thanksgiving. Here's my interpretation. Al, if you ain't got something to thank before, keep your trap shut. That's the way I interpret it. If you can't say something good, just keep your trap shut. Because if you're going to come in my presence, you need to be thankful first. Then I might listen to you. That's the way I take it. How do you take it? That's my interpretation. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, giving thanks. Now, here we go. We're going to do this in today, church. Giving thanks is shouts of joy, Psalms 100. Make a what? Joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what? Singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be what? Come on, God, you're wearing it out. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Could thankfulness be a key factor? I submit it to the church house at New Life. Could it be huge? Could it be as big as oxygen to the Spirit? Who should hear our thanks? I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise Thee among much people. There you go. Amen. I know some of you is waiting on permission. You just got it. But there it is. Rejoice in it. Be ye glad. King James. When should we give thanks? Here we go. Giving thanks how? Oh, there we go. Always. For all things unto God. I don't know why you put all. Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Wow. Followers of Christ should give thanks for victory, not defeat. All right? Are you ready for the verse? It is God that avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I do what? Give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. If you're here today and you've got an illness, if you've got sickness, if you've got financial, whatever the enemy's coming against you, you give thanks among that. You give thanks unto God. You give thanks. We'll do the praying. We're going to pray for this lady today. You give thanks. Let us do the praying. You don't pray for yourself. We're going to pray for you. You just thank God. Right? Does everybody get it? All right. Watch this one. 1 Corinthians. But thanks be to God, which gives us what? Come on. Gives us what? Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks to who? God. For our victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankfulness for mercy and forgiveness. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And say ye, save us, O God, for our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that they may give thanks to thy holy name. Anybody in here have anxiety? Anxiety attacks? All right, here's your verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? There you go. The cure for anxiety is having a thankful heart. There it is. Write it down. Philippians 4:6. I don't have time to keep going on that one. Be thankful for the grace of God. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Is anybody catching on that the grace of God and the kingdom and the that all of this is introduced through thankfulness? Now, all right. I'm winding her down. Running just a little bit late. It's 5 minutes till 12. We still got a lot to do, but I'm going to hurry. Thanksgiving releases overflow of God. Now, if you get anything, get this one, all right? I want everybody in here to be blessed with overflow stuff. It's in 2 Corinthians. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberty, which through us is what? Producing thanksgiving to what? To God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplied the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Now here's what he's saying. God's going to give you more than you're thanking Him for. That's what he's saying. He's going to give you more back than what you're thanking Him for. You're not thanking Him for what He's done. You're being thankful, and He's going to give you back more than you even know to be thankful for. And then it's that overflow that He's going to bless everybody else with. And I just spit all over myself. I feel like an old hills preacher spitting, don't I? It's that overflow that blesses everybody else. When you're thankful, you're going to be blessed with more than you're thanking Him for. That's what that's saying. I'm excited about that. Could it be the missing element? I'm ready to close here in just a minute. Could it be the missing element? Now here's the deal. 2 Chronicles. Now please watch this one with me, all right? I've got two slides and then I'm done. Watch this one. And as the Levites, who were the singers, that's that crowd that went around giving thanks, right? All those of Asaph and Heman and Judith with their sons and their brethren stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals and string instruments and harps, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpets and singers were as one. Wow. had his whole crowd of people dressed in white, cymbals, harps, and they all, and they waited till they got all their singing as one. Right? They kept practicing, they kept running, they kept singing, they kept making right, they kept doing. And all of a sudden, all of that racket, all them cymbals, all that thankfulness, all of a sudden started being as one. Listen, church, I've been in a meeting before where that happened. And all of a sudden, we all started hearing something that we weren't singing. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We heard heaven singing. Now, count me crazy if you want to, but it happened to me. They all became one. Their worship, their thankfulness, their singing, they became one. Now, here's what happened. Watch this one. Look. To make one sound to be heard in praising and doing what? Thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Whew. So that the priest could not continue ministry. Because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Wow. Let's stand. Wow. Has anybody caught a little bit on thankfulness? It's huge. It's big. You start your day with it. You live your life with it. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. If you've been in all darkness, if you've been complaining, if you try to see how big of a bad tale you can tell, you need to repent. You just need to repent. If we come together, if we start singing, if we happen to get this thing in tune, because we're praising and worshiping God out of our hearts. And all of a sudden, we turn into one sound. A cloud of God, it says, comes in. You say, "Well, Alan, what happens then?" I'll tell you, I don't know, because it's God. I'm clueless. But it's God. Let's try it.